Bless me. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 79 all the stanzas. My God, it was thy grace that did my strength supply, when thou didst hide thy face, sore troubled then was I. To thee I cried, O Lord, to thee I made my supplicating plea. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 79.
God's holy and precious word from the Gospel according to Luke from chapter 24. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 24, beginning with verse 13 up to and including verse 35. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, just a little of that communion, and then thy people do not want to let thee go, but to say, Abide with us. But thou didst say unto them, a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go unto my Father. And thou knowest how perplexed that they were, even they could not see thee. And thou knowest how thy church is perplexed also today, even they cannot see thee. Even thou dost hide thyself from them, and they want to see thee, or they want to commune with thee, and they want them to speak, and they want thee to speak unto them. Lord, could it please thee in this day, for thou art the living God, we may read it in thy word, and we may commemorate it in this day. And thou didst say, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Lord, then we desire so that there may be fruit. For that corn of wheat has fallen, and that corn of wheat has died. But thou hast also risen from the dead, and thou wilt bring forth fruit unto life eternal. Oh, may it be also in our midst, amongst our congregation, amongst our families. And thy church does so often pray unto thee, as if thou wast dead, as so unbelieving, and with such a little supplication, thinking so small thoughts and asking such little things, because we have no expectation. Lord, we have sinned it all away, but all the expectation is to be found in thee. And thou art a great God, and thou art the living God, and therefore we ask of thee great things, and we are gathered together. And Lord, there are many here, and we are standing, we are sitting here before thee in thy holy sight. And thou art not a God that cannot see, and thou art not a God that cannot hear, and thou art not a God that cannot do. O Lord, thou art the living God, and it is thy own dear Son who has merited that a life for thy church. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, that thou would look upon us in this hour, and that thou would look on every one of us. Oh, not just one or two, but may it be that not a single soul is left behind this day. Oh, send forth thy light and thy truth, Lord. As send forth thy Spirit in this hour, and to give to us a true regeneration, life from the dead that is all flowing out of thy dear and thy only begotten Son, that it may be fruit upon the labors that he has performed. Is he not so well pleasing unto thee? Did he not purchase it with the price of his own blood? Lord, wilt thou give to him a seed that will serve him? May it be amongst our own seed. May it be amongst our own congregation, our own children and loved ones. Lord, that thou wouldst remember us this day. Thou hast made it possible for us to be remembered. Though we have so oft sinned against thee, and though that we have despised all thy goodness, though that thou hast been so long-suffering with all of our iniquities, as we have continually followed after all the things that are of this world, and thy word and thy truth and thy institutions have not been sweet unto us as they ought to have been. Lord, Thou knowest that we have not the desires that we ought to have, and that we have sinful hearts, and so that there is nothing from our side, and that we do merit but our own death, but our own condemnation, to be cast away from Thee. And there is not a single one of us that can put our hand in our bosom and take it out clean. And we are all before Thee, Lord, as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Our best works, all our religion, that is what Thou cannot bear with. It is iniquity in Thy sight, because it is all polluted with our own self. But oh, take reasons now, Lord. Do look upon what Thy dear Son has accomplished. Thou hast promised it unto Him, and that if He would indeed go in this way, and that Thou wouldst give unto Him a reward, and that He may be honored, and that He may be glorified. Oh, Lord, is not the honor of the King in the multitude of His subjects? Increase them then this day. And Thou wast such a surprising God to Thy disciples. Oh, their hearts were so sad in that day. All was death. And Thou knowest, Lord, so often the discouragement in Thy people, and also in the midst of the congregation, because sometimes then it is said that the Lord's hand is so still, and then it seems as if Thou dost not give any more what Thou gavest in the days of old, and when Thou didst work conversions. Oh, could it please Thee to show us and our children this day that Thou art indeed the living God, that Thou dost raise the dead from spiritual death, whether they are young or whether they are old in this life. Oh, that Thou hast the power to break the hardest heart and the stoniest heart, and that Thou art able to make a man weep before Thee and to come upon his knees and to beg of Thee so undeservedly the most free of Thy mercies and of Thy grace. Lord, look upon us then, who cannot give it unto ourselves, who cannot give it unto our children, and who do not deserve the least of all Thy notice and Thy attention. But remember Thy Son, O Lord, and look upon us in and through Him, in whom Thou art so well pleased. Remember all the congregation, in all the needs and the cares of this life, which can be many, in the midst of the families, parents and children, husbands and wives. Oh, give love in the midst of the life in this world, wherein there is so much wretchedness and misery in the world, and where Satan goes about as a roaring lion and as an angel of light. Oh, that we may be given to see and to feel the greatness of Thy blessings here below in this life, that Thou dost still preserve unto us, and that we may be careful with Thy blessings, that we may deny ourselves, and that we may be given love for one another. Lord, wilt Thou teach us and lead us into all Thy truth? Remember the teachers in our school and all that labor therein. May it be a labor of love from their hearts, and that they may receive a blessing within, and that their hearts also may burn, as the men of whom we have just heard, that it may be evident also in the midst of our classrooms, that the tender fear of Thy name does live in the hearts of teachers and of students. O give to them also that blessed obedience to father and to mother and to teachers, that Thou dost promise with a long life here below. Lord, wilt Thou give love to Thee and a desire to walk in all of Thy ways, that they may be given in the days of their youth to see the blessedness of the people of the Lord, and that they may desire to serve Thee with all their heart, might, and strength. And wilt Thou turn us as nations back to Thee? Remember our denomination in Thy mercy. Wilt Thou give more servants, Lord, in Thy vineyard? And when Thou didst rise again from the dead, then Thou didst send forth Thy disciples, and Thou wilt send forth yet in the midst of this world, while there is still an opportunity. Oh, could it please Thee also amongst us as congregations, as a denomination, on the mission field, in the established congregations, wilt Thou work mightily and with power in the hearts of men, that they may be converted by Thee, and that they may be instructed by Thee, and that they may be called by Thee, and that they may be sent by Thee, and that Thou may give wisdom unto the curatorium, and when it hopes to meet in the months to come, remember the student and the instructors, and be on their right and on their left, and his also as he goes about to speak in the midst of the congregations. And wilt Thou be pleased to open the border once again, that there may be the ability to come also on this side of the border, and that Thou may remember the meetings that must take place, that Thou may give the ability to meet together from these different countries. Lord, that Thou may look upon us then as a denomination in all of our needs. For we need Thy presence, or we need Thy Spirit. We need Thy keeping hand, and that Thou would keep us, and that Thou would prevent us from going in our own way, and that Thou would show Thyself to be the Lord of Thy church, as the ruler of Thy church, and that it is all in Thy hands, and that we may be given so to go upon our knees, and that Thou would not deal with us according to our many sins. And help Thou us as a consistory, and when we hope to meet tomorrow evening, give us wisdom, and give us grace, give us strength, and give us the tender fear of Thy name. And wilt Thou remember the confession class? Lord, wilt Thou help them also as we meet yet from week to week? Wilt Thou give them knowledge and wisdom? And wilt Thou bless the means for their own souls? Remember us this hour. Bless us out of Thy heavenly store with blessings spiritual, with blessings eternal, forgiving and taking away all of our many sins, and strengthening us for this labor in this hour, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 132, stanzas 1 through 5. Within Thy temples, sacred courts, with loving and adoring thought, we contemplate Thy grace, O God, and all Thy deeds with mercy fraught. 1 through 5 of Psalter 132. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion read to you from Luke chapter 24, the verses 25 through 27. Luke 24, verses 25 through 27. Then said he unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So far, the words of our text. Blessed instruction for fools. First, the blessed recipients of this instruction. And second, the blessed contents of this instruction. Blessed instruction for fools. First, the blessed recipients, and second, the blessed contents of this instruction. The blessed recipients of this instruction. Who were they? We read, and they were two of the disciples of the Lord. That does not mean that they were of the 11, because we know that at least one of them we do not know at all who he was. But the other, we read, was Cleopas or Alphaeus, and that was not one of the 11 disciples. Thus, two of his disciples, that means that they were two of the followers. They are associated with him. They are associated with the disciples of the Lord. Then said he unto them. So who is that? That he, then said he unto them. They do not know who that is. That is a stranger to them at the moment. They have met him. He has met them, actually, upon that way. As they were traveling, we read, unto Emmaus. They do not know who that he is. And yet we read that they have a strange opening unto him as he is questioning them, as they are walking to Emmaus, and as he is asking them why, and that their countenances and their speech together, that is so sad. Why are they so despondent? He is a stranger to them. And yet, it seems that they do not withhold themselves from him. Thus, when we meet a stranger, we are always very careful, and we are not opening everything of our heart unto a stranger. But this man, they do not know, and yet they are laying all their needs, all their troubles, all the mysteries, all the perplexities, all their sadness, they are laying all of that before this stranger. Do you ever receive an opening to lay before the Lord all your troubles? Maybe you say, I do not know the Lord. I am not one of his children. Maybe you are jealous of God's children. You say that is their God, and he is not yet my God. Oh, that he would be my God. Oh, is there ever a time that you may go in your closet and receive an extraordinary opening to just now say it to the Lord, that your heart may go open, that you see, that you receive a little freedom, and yet you say, I don't know what that was, and I don't know who he is. And yet, oh, you look back on it. You say, it was so good in that day. It was so good in that hour. Because I could lay it all so easily before the Lord. Then it was as if the Lord, he has taken it over from me. All those men also look back. They look back upon that time later. They say together, oh, do you not remember when we are walking with him there together? And we did not know who that he was. But all that was so good. Because it was, they were moments, that was an hour, where in our heart that was so one, and that was burning together in love for the Lord in that hour. Then said he unto them, O fools. We would say, what kind of language is that? Because he is just a stranger to them. And he is speaking unto them only for a little while. He is asking them a few questions, and then he is calling them a fool. May he even do that? Did not the Lord Jesus say that we may not call one another Reka? He says, if we shall say to one another Reka, and what does that mean, Reka? That means empty. So you are just empty. You are just, you have no substance. Well, if we will say to our brother Reka, then we shall be in danger of the council. But if thou shalt say, thou fool, thou shalt be in danger of hell fire. May he do that then. May he say, O fool. Well, congregation, that is not the same word. It is the same word in the English language, but it is not the same word in the Greek language. So that former, that is to call one someone impious or impious, as not having piety, as to make a judgment of the state of a man, a judgment that belongs not to us, but that belongs unto the Lord. But that is not the word that he uses here. Although he is able to make that judgment, but he makes not that judgment. Oh, blessed be his name, on these his own people. But here he uses a different word. And that word, that does not mean impious, but that word means without understanding. Oh, fools. Without understanding. We can read the Apostle Paul says to the Galatians, are ye so foolish? So foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? And then he is using that same word. He says, are you so, not without grace, but are you so without knowledge, without understanding, so foolish? The Lord Jesus, he asked that of his disciples. He says, are you also yet without understanding? Why reason ye? Because you have no bread. because you have seen what I have done before. Perceive ye not? Perceive ye not? Do ye not yet understand? Having eyes, do ye not see? Having ears, do ye not hear? Are you so without understanding? A fool. No, the disciples, they are not unaccustomed to that. To the Lord calling them a fool. Did the Lord ever call you a fool? Do you ever hear that from the Lord? That you are without understanding? The disciples, they were used to that. And now the stranger, they do not know him. And he calls them without understanding. And then are they offended? No, they are not offended. And why are they not offended? Oh, because they agree with him. Because that is exactly the way that they feel in their own heart. That I am a fool. That I do not have understanding. Oh, they have a feeling sense of their ignorance in all the things, not of this world, but their ignorance in the things of God. Oh, the Lord, what is he doing? He is stripping. He is stripping his people step by step. And he has to take away from them their righteousnesses. We have heard about that. They must become as filthy rags. But here we read that he is also taking away from them all their wisdom. So they do not know it anymore. And that is the way that these disciples, they are not just in the beginning of that way. No, they have walked with him. Now for 3 years they have been instructed by him. You would say they are the more knowledgeable now in the things of the kingdom of God. But they still feel like a fool. Like a fool in the knowledge of all the things of the Lord. And how that the Lord is leading them. How the Lord leads his people, what the Lord has been doing, what the Lord is now doing. Oh, they say, I am so without understanding. And why does the Lord do that? Because when we are without understanding, how is that, children? When you go to school and you are sitting there and you say, well, I know all this already. I know it already. So then the teacher can talk to all the rest in the classroom, but they don't have to talk to me because I already have this knowledge. And then it is closed, isn't it? Oh, then there is no place for instruction, right? But now if you are in that class and you say, oh, I do not know anything about this. And if you may have some desire, we hope you have some desire to learn also, especially of the things of the Lord. Oh, then you say, oh, Lord, wilt thou teach me these things? Oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So he does not only say that they are fools, but he says that they are of little faith. He does not say they are of no faith. No, they are his own disciples. But he says they are slow learners and slow believers. Believers of whom? Oh, slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. What are the prophets? That was the Word of God for them. They did not have the New Testament. They had the Old Testament. Or so slow to believe the Bible. Oh, are we so slow to believe God's Word? Oh, how do we believe that Word of God? Do you believe that Word of God? What do you think? Do you think that those travelers believe the prophets? Oh, you say, yes. Those, they have certainly believed the prophets. And they loved the Lord. They believed what the prophets have spoken of the Lord. And they were looking for the fulfillment of the promises of the Lord. They were given in that Old Testament. And now they believe that the Lord Jesus was the Christ. And the Lord Jesus says, you are so slow of heart to believe those prophets. And so we have the blessed recipients of this instruction. That is who they are. They did not feel so blessed. No, they felt just the opposite of blessed. They felt so very, very miserable and so ignorant and so confused for all the things that were happening. Do they love the Lord with all their heart? With all their heart. They miss Him and they cannot miss Him. Oh, they sat under His instruction now for several years. And they so enjoy that instruction when they may be under His teaching, and when they had questions, or they went to Him and He would answer all of their questions. And now it is all upside down within their heart. They do not understand. Fool, not understand. Do not understand what did happen. They do not understand what is now happening. All a mystery. All the expectations that they had, those expectations, they have come crashing down. Oh, we would say the foundation that is taken out from under their feet. We thought it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. That is what we thought. He was the Redeemer. That He was the Savior of Israel. But it is not true what we thought. Oh, they feel so ignorant. They do not feel blessed in their foolishness. And then they hear that name. They hear their name. And the Lord says, oh, fools. Is that not good? When they may hear their name. Did you ever hear your name? You ever hear your name in the preaching? You ever hear your name in the scriptures? Did the Lord ever write your name in the Bible? Is that your name? Oh, fools. And when they hear that name, oh, then, what do you think is in their heart? Well, He says we are without understanding. What does that mean? Oh, that means He has some understanding. He has some knowledge. He has something for us. And in their hearts they are praying, oh, sir, do you have something to teach us? Because of all these things, oh, we would love to receive here instruction. They are the students. These are the students, the blessed students that the Lord Jesus has now before Him as He is traveling with them. And are there such students then here today? Do we have also such students? Does He have such students today? Because He is alive. And then we are to speak only His own word that is all from Him. Oh, does He then have such students today? Ignorant people. Confused people. People that are despondent and yet who love the Lord. Oh, then they are not necessarily even people that are just beginning. No, it can be they have been on that way already for a little while. And yet all those things that they had hoped upon, the things you have built upon, the things that you have gathered together, you say, maybe that is the work of the Lord. Oh, I hear that sometimes when it is explained how the Lord is leading His people. And then I think, maybe that the Lord is also, and then all the sweetness that is being taken away. And the Lord is uncovering more and more the evil, the sin, the iniquity that is living in your heart. And then you try to put that all together. You say that does not fit together. Because there is iniquity, then it cannot be that what I thought was maybe the Lord's work, that was His redemption, but it cannot be because it does not go with all the rest of the things that are going on. And so all the reasonings, as you reason together, He says, all those reasonings, and you cannot fit together the pieces of that great puzzle, and you are afraid that you have deceived yourself. Well, what is the Lord doing? The Lord is opening the ears. The Lord is making place in the hearts of His children for what? For instruction. He makes them into a fool without understanding. And He makes them to hunger. Oh, then there is place for them to hear and to learn. And what? We see that in our second thought, the blessed contents of this instruction. Then said He unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures in the things concerning Himself. That is the blessed contents of His instruction. That is the things concerning Himself. Oh, there is nothing that true church of God would love to be instructed about more than the things concerning Christ. Christ. You too. He is so hidden from them. They do not know who He is. He is here a stranger to them. Oh, they love Him, and yet they have to say, I do not even know Him. And now He begins to open their understanding to give the knowledge of Himself unto these fools. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? Oh, the necessity that Christ should suffer. The necessity that Christ should suffer. That is just what these disciples needed to be instructed in. The necessity that Christ should suffer. That is what they did not know. That is what they did not see in their foolishness. And now Christ, He says why He has to suffer. Well, there are several reasons. We read that He begins with Moses and the prophets. And what did the prophets do, boys and girls? They prophesied about Him. And all the prophecies about Him had to come true. There is not one jot, there is not one tittle of that law that shall not be fulfilled. And so He begins there. Oh, you say, did they not know that? They knew the Old Testament. Does he now need to explain to them what was written in the Old Testament? Don't they already know their Bible? Oh, sure they knew. Sure they knew. We know it too, right? Probably not as well as they did. Oh, and yet, they are prejudiced. They are prejudiced. In all the things that they have heard out of those scriptures, all the things that had to happen because those prophets, they have spoken about the son of David. So David's son, that king, he was going to come on the throne. That would be the throne of Israel. He was going to redeem, he was going to save his people. Oh, how they looked forward to that. That was according to their flesh. When all the nations of the world, they would be again in subjection to the people of God. Only see Israel in the time of the height of his reign. And now they know it. So they know. Hosanna, son of David, son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They know it so well. But is there not more? Is there not more that was prophesied by the prophets than his rising to the throne, to the kingship? Oh yes, there was more. Because we know that Isaiah also prophesied of him. And his prophecy of him was that he would be a man of sorrow. That he would be acquainted with grief, and that men would reject him. That was also there. They also knew that. And now what do we do with that? Well, we do not understand that part. It is not only that we do not understand that part. We don't want that part. We don't want that part. And so there is a prejudice in our hearing. And now the Lord Jesus instructs his disciples. They have heard and they have remembered one part. And they have heard and they have not received the other part. And now the Lord begins to speak about that part. That was never precious to them. But it becomes precious to them. When? Now. Now. Oh, when they begin to hear how that Isaiah has prophesied of the suffering, of the dying, and they begin to hear that, then everything begins to become clear. They begin to understand. And now the trials, the tribulations that they are experiencing, which were so against their expectations, oh, then that prophecy that becomes so precious unto them. Because, oh, then they feel, and they see that they are walking in the way of the Lord. Oh no, then they are not out of the way, but actually they are in the way. Oh, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? And now that suffering of those things was not only because that it was prophesied, but the suffering of those things was also because of the law itself. We read, beginning at Moses. The Moses, he is a representation in God's word so often of that law. That law that was given on Sinai especially that moral law. And that law was broken. That law was transgressed. Are the disciples aware of that? Oh, yes, they are aware of that. We are too, right? We are too. But to be aware of it and to live it out. To live it out in our life. Those are now two different things. That needs to be learned here by these disciples of the Lord. What has to be learned? Oh, there is a justice. And God's justice must be satisfied. The Lord does not usually begin there with His people. No, the Lord begins so tenderly with His people. But He needs to bring them there. It cannot be otherwise. More and more that it is necessary that the people are being brought unto the necessity of the fulfilling of that justice of God. Oh, they can be so filled with the love of the Lord. They can be so filled with the drawing of the Lord. Oh, the day of the Lord, the institution of the Lord. Oh, the Lord pouring out His love in their hearts. That is good. But that is not enough. And why is that not enough? Because they lie under that curse. And that curse must be taken away. And those disciples need to be instructed in this. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? That is what they needed to learn. Or was these things not necessary, my disciples, that He might redeem Israel? Can Israel be redeemed in any other way than Him suffering these things? How can Israel be brought back? What other redemption price? Can there be a redemption price that is less than blood for Israel to be redeemed? And now you say, we thought that it had been He which had redeemed Israel. And why do you question that now? Why do you question that when you see His suffering, when you see His death? Oh, are not these things, are they not the very proof that He is to redeem Israel, oh fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Why are you so sad? Why are you so discouraged? Why are you so downhearted? Are not these the very things for which you ought to be rejoicing in your heart? Oh, why are you so carnal-hearted? Why are you not lifted up above all the things that are here below, above this whole world? Why are you not lifted up to see the spiritual things and the eternal things? 116, 1 through 4, as pants the heart for cooling streams, when heated in the chase, so longs my soul, O God, for Thee and Thy refreshing grace. 1 through 4 of 116. fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory?" What was a congregation that so hindered the disciples in their understanding? What hindered them in their understanding of Christ for 3 years? That was their carnal heart. That was their attachment to all that was here below, and a seeking for a carnal glory for Christ and also for themselves. And now Christ instructs His disciples about the glory that He is seeking. He instructs them about the glory that was promised unto Him by His Father in that covenant of redemption in eternity. He says that is the glory that is so far above the glory that you are seeking, above the glory that can be found in this whole world. That glory that Christ is speaking of here is a very special glory. It is a glory that can only come through suffering. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? That is not true of all glory, that it comes through suffering. But now the highest glory that is coming by way of the depths. Of the depths. God Himself was not satisfied with receiving the glory for His holiness, for His righteousness, for His goodness and other attributes. That was not enough. God Himself has sought a higher glory. What was that glory? It was a higher glory in His mercy. And even a higher glory yet, that was a glory in His grace. That is the glory that He sought for Himself. That is the glory that He sought for His only begotten Son, that Son who is His beloved Son, in whom He is well pleased, and He has sought for His Son the highest glory. But that glory could not be reached without descending. That glory could not be reached by only ascending. Why not? It is because the nature, the very nature of that glory, that is what made the fall, the awful fall, so necessary that the Lord may receive the highest glory possible in the whole universe. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? He now began to enter into His glory. The first step of His glory in His resurrection, that is the glory of His exaltation. Oh, how glorious was His resurrection from the dead. It was glorious in power. It was the glorious power over death. It was the bringing in life from the dead. Is not that so very, very glorious? Who is this, Isaiah says, that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in his might. Glorious. What kind of glory is that? That is the glory of a victor in the battlefield. But how does a victor in the battlefield get his glory? That is only by first descending into that battle. That is the very nature of the glory that that victor will receive. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth out the winepress? Oh, so Isaiah says, he was their Savior. Their Savior. How is a man a Savior? Well, he has first to descend into the battle for them, that they are not able to fight for themselves. Is that not the reason that David ran into the army? That he may go forth to meet that Philistine? When all that army of Israel, oh, they were sore afraid, and they fled from that enemy. And David, he descended into that valley of Elah. That was the only way, else the children of Israel would have become slaves, servants unto those Philistines. And soon he returned with what? He returned with that head of the Philistine in his hand. And he is ascending out of that valley. And there come the women from here, this city and that city. And they come out with singing and with dancing and with music. Oh, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. What is it? Oh, that is the glory of a deliverer. The glory of a Savior. Oh, then it was first necessary for him to descend into that valley in order that he may come out of that valley. That is a special glory that only comes after that descension, because the glory is actually by virtue of that descending. That is now the glory of that Savior. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Oh, that is the glory of the Redeemer. What does the Redeemer do? Those men have spoken about that. A Redeemer, he is buying back. Buying back whom? The slaves. They are under shackles. They cannot deliver themselves. Oh, if someone else does not pay their price, oh, then they will have to serve. And how is that now here in this case for that people? Oh, they are forever and forever under the shackles of death because of their sin. Oh, ought not Christ then to have suffered these things, that he would go into that death? Oh, that he would pay that price unto the fullest, and that he may come out as that victor, and that he may return so that they may give him glory. Oh, that they may sing his praises. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? What glory is that? Oh, that is the glory of distributing the blessings. Didn't Joseph receive that glory when he came up there out of that prison house? And then he is placed there upon the throne. And from there, they came to him in all their need. And he was able to provide for them all their need with all those storehouses. And they was able to give them food to the hungry and drink to the thirsty and help all the needy ones. Is that not glorious? Or they came to him and they said, Thou hast saved our lives. And then they said, we will give ourselves. We are now the servants of Pharaoh. Oh, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory when his people with a heart made willing by that Spirit of the Lord, they are coming to him, bowing to him, and saying, thou hast saved our lives, and then giving to him their whole life. All their might, all their strength, and they say, Lord, here am I. I am now thy servant. Do with me what thou wilt do. And I want to serve thee and not this world. I want to serve thee with all my heart and with all my soul, all my life long. Is that not glory? Is that not glorious? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Oh, what is the greatest glory for God and for Christ and for that Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? What is now the greatest glory? That is to receive in mercy and in grace a sinner unto themselves. That is now their greatest glory. That is the glory of his mercy. It is the glory of his grace. To the glory of that thrice holy name. Do you say, I am unworthy? Do you say that, some of you? Oh, may we all be given that place to say, I am so unworthy of that. It is so true. There is nothing so true as that. That we are altogether so unworthy of the least blessing of the Lord. But that does not stand in the way of the Lord giving that blessing unto us. No, congregation, it is exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite. Because when he may give it unto one that is unworthy, then he may show to him mercy. Then he may show to him grace. And there is nothing so to his glory and then to show mercy and grace unto an unworthy and unto a needy sinner. Oh, is he not worthy? Is he not worthy to receive that honor, that he may be the Savior? Oh, would you not be willing to draw near to him in all your unworthiness? Go into your closet. Go into your closet and to say, Lord, I am from the crown of my head unto the sole of my foot. Oh, there is nothing in me but iniquity and sin. I have a heart that is so hard as that nether millstone. Oh, does that sometimes weigh on you? Is that sometimes a burden to you? And do you say, who am I that the Lord now should look upon me? Oh, could you just but draw near with all your sin, with all your iniquity, and just lay it before him. Just lay it before him. Because, congregation, that is what now makes us. That is now what makes us a fit recipient of his grace. And then say to him, oh Lord, thou hast suffered all these things. That is all done. Thou hast done it. All art thou not worthy now. Oh, you may lay that before the Father, before the Father. He has promised it unto his Son, and he desires it for his Son. Or he cannot do it for our sake, because we are unworthy. But he does it for his son's sake. He desires to do it for his son's sake. And what will that now be? Oh, if it could be every one of us. Every one of us. Would that not be such a wonder? We would say if the Lord would take one of us, but we all have a soul. And he is so worthy that it would be every one of us who could come in our guilt and in our sin, in all our unworthiness, and that we would begin in this life already to give unto him his rightful glory. Has he not earned it by suffering these things? And has he not now the power to give it unto us who do not deserve it? Oh, then that church that is one day going to enter into his glory. But first it needs to descend. It first needs to descend into that battlefield. Oh, why now is that true, church? So often, so sad. Why are they now often so discouraged in their trial, in their tribulation, as if the way to glory was not through the depths of desolations in this world? Oh, why art thou cast down? Oh, my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? And when I have to suffer such things before that I enter into glory, why then so perplexed? When thy seated way does not go upward as I have expected, but everything seems so upside down and turned over. And when all those sweet experiences are taken away and all those false foundations are now uncovered, oh, does the soul not need to find its blessed and sure foundation as a solid rock in him who has suffered these things, that he may enter into his glory? Oh, what will it be? And to share something of that glory with him one day. Oh, to see him in his glory. Then they will finally understand and accept and receive all their own foolishness. Then they will say, oh, he has done everything so, so very well. Not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we plead with thee. To whom else can we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we are so unworthy of this. But we beg it of thee, for the name of thy dear and only begotten Son, who has suffered these things, Lord, and he has entered into his glory. And wilt thou increase that glory with the conversion of each and every one of us, both young and old? Take us, Lord, by heart and by hand, and let us not go our own way. We work out our own destruction, but thou wilt stop a man upon his way, and thou wilt lead him into thy truth, to thy own glory. Wilt thou forgive all of our iniquity from this hour? Bless the means of grace. Receive our acknowledgement for all of thy help, and for a little strength in this hour. Be with us when we depart from this place. Help us in all the needs and the cares of the week to come. Give us yet in this evening to keep thy day holy, that we may have a desire to read a little in thy word and the things that are written of thy word, and that we may long for the blessings that are eternal and that are spiritual. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 381. 1 through 4. With grateful heart, my thanks I bring. Before the great, thy praise I sing. I worship in thy holy place and praise thee for thy truth and grace. 1 through 4 of 381.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.